Agenda item number 13, Chief O'Reilly.
Good afternoon, members of the commission, especially new associate members. And talk a little today about what we started last month. So for those who are new to today, staff and the commission did have a discussion last month about the situation where since 1993 there has been a commercial fisherman registration license required. Staff terms it an umbrella license. You need it's an entry license. You need that license before you can do anything else, whether it's gill netting, crabbing, conking, whatever it may be. You need that commercial fisherman registration license. And what I'm going to go through today are the many changes that have occurred with the exception process. When the General Assembly enacted the commercial fisherman registration license in the 1992 General Assembly, they also enacted an exception process, and they left it up to the commission on what the shape of that exception process or how that exception process would be governed. And mainly the issue today, and it's a fairly long-standing issue, it is the lack of correspondence between those provisions that govern the exceptions to delayed entry in the Code of Virginia, which is Section 28.2.241 of the Code of Virginia, and what we have in our administrative code or in our regulations. Our regulations or our chapters are part of the Virginia Administrative Code. The blue font in these slides will help to focus the real central points that staff is going to make. But what it shows you is that currently we're in a situation where it's not the best place to be. And as a staff and a commission, this has been the norm for 20 years. And if you look, if there needs to be an exception to the commercial fisherman registration license, if there's a reason that someone doesn't automatically go into the two-year delay and 2 years later have a commercial fisherman registration license, these are the criteria that has governed that since 1994, a couple of years after the General Assembly met. And primarily, it has the applicant fished a significant quantity of commercial gear in Virginia waters during at least two of the last 5 years. And secondly, also, and can demonstrate to the satisfaction of the commissioner that a significant hardship caused by unforeseen circumstances beyond the applicant's control has prevented the applicant from making timely application for registration. One of the cloud covers of all this is when this was enacted in 1992 by the General Assembly, the registration is the commercial fisherman registration license. As the years piled on, it becomes a little bit vague as to what's involved with the registration exactly. One other thing to mention is there's always been a part in the exception process that it cannot be given solely for economic purposes. So to take you back a little bit to 1992, initially what the General Assembly did when they asked the Commission to come up with the rules for how you govern exceptions, it was that any person requesting an exemption shall provide said request in writing to the Commission 30 days in advance. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, I remember these days, and it was unbelievable because what happened, the Commission became flooded by many applicants every commission meeting, and each applicant, to his credit or her credit, had a pretty good idea that they would do anything to not have to wait 2 years and get an exception. It was very tough on the commission because it tied up far more time than ever expected by having this type of an approach to the regulation. So in January of 1994, that part of the regulation was amended. There's still, in number one, as you can see, a previous history of fishing a significant quantity of gear. And keep in mind that the only way you can fish a significant quantity of gear as an exception applicant is that you're helping someone else. And they're, or that they're vouching for you, saying, yes, you fished a lot of gear, which through the many applications, that's not always the case, but that's okay. The second part is the hardship was narrowed down to just health reasons or active military duty. And that certainly was a, you can imagine, that was much, much different than the first part that I showed you about the commission being petitioned directly for exceptions. Later on, that was modified. That looked too prohibitive, perhaps, but maybe not. But the applicant's control, beyond his control, pardon me, in part two in blue font there, that occurred again. And if you knew the climate in 1994, it was still relatively recent after 1993. There were a lot of commercial harvesters who really didn't understand the beginnings of all this, the commercial fisherman registration license, mandatory reporting. Staff went out as best as could and promoted mandatory reporting. It was sort of new, so it was felt that the what had been done in January 1 of 1994 was really keeping out harvesters who probably had been harvesting a lot and just had not been part of the change that occurred that was started with the General Assembly. But now this language stays today, and it causes a lot of difficulty. Here's a table that shows a characterization about the exceptions. In the far right, you can see that we have a fairly steady amount of commercial fishermen registration licensees since 2005. And we could have taken this back further. It would have shown the same thing. Most of these licensees are renewals. Every year, they renew their license. But some aren't. Some are able to get a registration by way of transfer. And you can see that, again, this is only partial in 2015, but generally there's 100 to 135, 136 transfers. What is a transfer? A transfer is what has become commonplace in our fisheries. It started with striped bass in 1992, but in most of our fisheries, transfers mean that I will buy your gear, I will buy your license, and that's a transfer. I mean, that's really what a transfer is. So a lot of harvesters simply go and get the license of someone else. About an equal amount, or a little bit more, if you look at this total column, come under exception. So it's really maybe about 1.5 to 2 times more each year. So these are the amount of exception applications that come into our offices. And the amount of approved, you can see, was fairly high, you know, about 85% actually. If you go from 2005 through 2013, 85% of all exceptions were approved. Afterwards, it becomes less so. And when you think about the Code of Virginia 282203, one of the things that is there is equity and fairness. And we often hear that, all of us hear that, but in this case, there is a lack of fairness because a lot of these harvesters who become licensees did so by perhaps not the most upfront manner. Perhaps the information they put down was not exactly accurate, and to, you can imagine what it would be like to do 200 investigations of whether or not the application process was being accurate or not. It's a formidable task. Back in the early 90s and the mid-90s, staff actually did that. We had someone on staff who would call around and try and trace the veracity of the exception applicant. And it was very time-consuming. But this is not about staff time, because staff is used to going through a couple of hundred applications a year. The commissioner's designee does that, and really it's more about fairness that these folks who say, well, I'm really not going to try and pull one over on anyone. Not that all the exceptions did, but certainly some did. I'm going to go ahead and get a transfer. Staff thought it was a brilliant idea about 2 years ago to attach to the exception process a form that meant the harvester that the applicant worked for had indeed worked for the applicant. And that didn't work out because all we had was a lot of unusual information come in. They'd have information like, James worked for me in the gillnet fishery, he worked for me in crabs, he did this. And when we looked up whoever the harvester was vouching for the applicant, sometimes they didn't even do that themselves. So the form was a nice idea, but it didn't work out. It didn't make things, it didn't increase the veracity of these applications at all. Now there's another part to the exceptions, which in researching this, I think is pretty important. When the General Assembly authorized the commission to promulgate regulations for exceptions, they weren't just looking at the hardship factor. You'll notice that in 282.243, there's also biological and sociological factors. So staff interprets that, meaning that if there's a fishery that's beleaguered, a fishery that is slammed full of applicants, a fishery where the biomass has decreased, a fishery where abundance has become very low, the exception process should be looking at that. It shouldn't just look at whether the applicant needs to have a commercial license. And through all the years, I sort of doubt that that's really been taken into account until we get to the oyster fishery. And everyone knows the oyster fishery had a little bit of a pulse in 2005, the public fishery. It got stronger and stronger, and it's been quite a fishery on both the public and the private fishery with over 530,000 bushels. I mean, it's been quite an event. And staff and the commissioner started hearing about folks entering the fishery. And you're going to hear about that a little bit later today. Well, this gives you a sort of a tale of what really happened. In the normal two-year delay, where you're allowed to go into the fishery 2 years after you apply, you come to our offices, you do it by mail, you send in your check for $190. 2 years later, you have a license. Staff anticipates that the General Assembly looked at the two-year delay as a way to stabilize the fishery, whereas the exception process has flooded some of the fisheries. And the oyster fishery is one of them. If you look, there have been 276 exceptions that have been granted over the course of several years. This doesn't mean they're all granted 1 year, who entered the oyster fishery, along with 33 who came in after there was a control date in July 1, 2014. So 309 out of a little over 1,000 licensees are strictly from the exception process. The transfer process is slightly less, but the transfer process is a process that's always been called one in, one out, because one person gets out of the fishery, one person gets in the fishery. Now, Dr. Wesson probably knows that the transfer system has also resulted in some active effort that wasn't active as well. There's no doubt about that. But nothing like the exception process. And sitting here earlier, what I was thinking about was really the exception process is solely about economics, because you don't have to go for a transfer for a few thousand dollars. You just have to buy your commercial fisherman registration license for $190, and you save money for the licenses you're going to buy, whether it's striped bass tags, whether it's a crabbing license, commercial hook and line license. So it really has been about economics. And really, this goes back to the origin of this issue, that after January 1, 1993, if you get registered as a commercial fishing registration licensee, then you're able to sell, trade, or barter your seafood. But if you are not registered, you will not be able to do that. And in fact, you'll be going back to a situation, if you approve staff's proposal, that really in number two, there should be a health situation or there should be a call to active military duty. This isn't unusual that you're hearing today. We hear it in the Crab Management Advisory Committee. We hear it in other committees as to what happened to the original exception requirements that the commission had, and in this case, January 1, 1994. So the two-year delay is something that really staff wonders whether it's been fair to have the exceptions treated the way they are to those who have to get the transfer or those who just go and wait for 2 years. And there are some amendments that I'd like to go over with you. And if you can look at page 6, which in your packet, it's page 6 of the regulation, but it's really going to be about page 15 or so. Let's see. Pardon me. Page 16. So I think it's important to go through these. It won't take a long time, but on page 16 and at the top of page 17, which are page 6 and 7 of the regulations, the language is just stricken out to make way for the new language. And if you look at page 7 at the top, 2 and 3 you'll see are retained as is. There still will be the ability to have the transfer in number 2 and in number 3 to carry on the family tradition. Those will still be part of this. If you look down a little further on page 17, you'll see that it's very important that the effective date of status as a commercial fisherman shall be 2 years from the date the application is approved by the commission. What this means is the Regulatory Review Committee met on this. You heard about the Regulatory Review Committee earlier. It has the benefit of all the divisions that meet to go over these regulations. And it was their situation that they thought, first of all, the current December 1 through end of February application for delayed entry was not necessary. And it was a way that folks who would be tempted before to apply for an exception, may have done so because they were outside that window, December to February. So why not open it up all year? It's still 2 years, and in fact, that is what the General Assembly had in mind. They didn't have December through February. They just had a two-year period. So one recommendation and a change here will be to be 2 years from whatever date someone puts in their application for the two-year delay. And if you can follow forward on page 18, this is just a reworking of the provision that you saw a couple of times about the criteria that are involved. And number one stays the same. It's the transferability. You're purchasing someone else's license. Number two is the passing on a license to immediate family members. The third one is there could be situations where the applicant for an exception for the two-year delay is there because he had a valid license the year before, but yet something prevented him from registering in time. It could be health reasons. It could be military reasons, and that could be something that would be legitimate to allow that person to re-enroll as a commercial fisherman registration licensee. And then you see at the bottom, this is similar to what we have in other regulations, other chapters, that you're going to need some proof from the physician as to your health condition. And then if you go to page 19, the main thing there is at the bottom, the Regulatory Review Committee also indicated why is the normal registration running from December 1 through the end of February. This year alone, there were probably 15 cases, part weather-related, part other situations, where licensees who'd been licensed for quite a few years couldn't make that time period. So the Regulatory Review Committee suggested that it should be extended from December 1, which starts our licensing time period, through the end of April. And that's also something that, you know, really through trial and error, we've learned most of the fishermen will register by that time. In a lot of cases, what we face is someone who is not going to crab and get their crabbing license until March may not register by the end of February, but they'll certainly register by the end of April. And those are the amendments. So I didn't know the Regulatory Review Committee was on that slide, or I would have had that up there, but there it is. And staff is recommending the commission adopt the amendments found in subdivisions 30 and 40 of Chapter 4 of EAC 26.10.10 in sequence pertaining to commercial fishing and mandatory harvest reporting. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer those.
Other questions from the commission? Bottom line, Rob, this streamlines the process. If they want to transfer, that's fine. They need to, somebody needs to inherit it, that's fine. If you got a legitimate reason, a medical hardship, military service, otherwise, the two-year delayed entry is there for a reason.
Yes, sir, and I was very impressed to go back in time, without the time machine, by the way, but to go back in time and see that someone was thinking about the resource. I mean, throughout the code, 282203 again, the number one concern is biological. And so here's a case, oysters is one issue. That was taken advantage of. Some of the applications that were looked at said, simply, I want an oyster limit. But we may have other fisheries where it's really not a good situation that there can be a run on licenses. And I think the General Assembly was wise in it, provided for the two-year delay to keep the flow of licensees available. So thank you.
Any questions from the commission? This is a public hearing. Is anybody in the audience that wishes to be heard on this matter at all? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action.
I move to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Neal here to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Second by Ms. Haney. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.